If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please join me in the middle of your Bible in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, today we are going to be looking at Psalm 23. If you're just joining us today, today is the final week of a summer series called Summer in the Psalms, where over the course of this summer, we have worked our way verse by verse and chapter by chapter through several key psalms. And today, we are going to finish up with Psalm 23, looking at verses 4 through 6 in depth. Next week, we're going to be starting a new series in the book of Ephesians, and I'm really, really excited about that study. Let's read Psalm 23 in its entirety. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Would you pray with me? God, we come before your throne this morning, and we just, again, say thank you so much for your beautiful word that will never, ever, ever return void. Rather, it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And Father, you know the reason why you sent this amazing word. You know why you had King David write these amazing words down. And Father, we just ask and pray today that you would move among us. Father, you know what we need today. You know every individual in this place. God, you know every hurt, every concern, every worry. God, you know our hearts. Father, you know where we need to be drawn closer to you. Father, you know today where we need to be convicted. God, you know all things. So Holy Spirit, we ask and pray today that you would move among us and that as we expose your word, by teaching through it, we just ask and pray that you would touch our hearts. God, what we need today, we ask and pray that you would give us that. Father, what we are not today, we ask and pray that you would make us that. Again, we say thank you so much for your incredible, incredible, incredible word. Speak to us now. We love you, we love you. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So of Psalm 23, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, "It has been said that what the nightingale is among birds, that is this divine ode among the Psalms. For it has sung sweetly in the ear of many a mourner in his night of weeping, and has bidden him hope for a morning of joy. I will venture to compare it also to the lark, which sings as it mounts and mounts as it sings until it is out of sight, and even then it is not out of hearing. Note the last words of the psalm, 'I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.' These are celestial notes, more fitted for the eternal mansions than for these dwelling places below the clouds. Oh, that we may enter into the spirit of the psalm as we read it, and then we shall experience the days of heaven upon the earth." So by way of review, in Psalm chapter 23, there are two main characters. Of course, there is the shepherd, and then there is the sheep. King David, who is the author of this psalm, he is metaphorically referring to himself as a sheep, and he is speaking of the Lord as a shepherd. Psalm 23 is a psalm that points back to God's faithfulness to the children of Israel whenever they were in the desert. You see, God was their shepherd during that time, providing for them and protecting them as a good shepherd would. The same language used in Psalm 23 is used in Deuteronomy 2 when Moses said to the Israelites, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you." He says, "You have lacked nothing." And that is what the good shepherd did for the Israelites whenever they were in the desert. He shepherded them. He provided for them. They lacked nothing. And he protected them as they were in the desert. And as it is a psalm that points back to God's provision and protection in the past, it is also a psalm that points us to Jesus, the good shepherd, As Jesus says in John chapter 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So it's a psalm that points back to the faithfulness of our God. It's a psalm that points us to Jesus. And ultimately, it is a psalm that points us to the good shepherd at the end of time in heaven. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So we clearly see in all of these passages of scriptures, and you can write this down, that the Lord is a shepherd. The Lord is a shepherd. King David again says, the Lord is my shepherd. And again, by way of review, in order for us to understand the beautiful significance of this metaphor, as King David refers to the Lord as a shepherd, we must understand the metaphor of the sheep. You see, this psalm was more than likely written at the end of David's life as he reflected back on his life. If you remember, he was a shepherd to sheep whenever he was young. So being that, he understood sheep. And he understood how he related to a sheep. And you and I must understand this morning as well how we relate to sheep too. You see, there are four words that encompass the character of sheep. They're dumb, directionless, defenseless, and dependent. And here, King David is referring to himself as one of these, a sheep, one who is dumb, one who is directionless and defenseless and dependent on a shepherd. And like King David, we are sheep too, and we need a shepherd too. And guess what? The Lord is that great shepherd. And before I move on into the second half of this message, here's a question that you have to ask yourself. And the question is this: is the Lord my shepherd? Ask yourself that question this morning. Is the Lord my shepherd? You see, in order for the rest of this text to mean anything to you this morning, you have to determine whether or not the Lord is your shepherd. This is what Jesus says. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door, he says. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So here's the question that we must answer this morning before we move on. How do you know if you are a sheep and the Lord is your shepherd? How do you know? Well, this text that we just read, it tells us. It tells us, number one, that Jesus is the door to salvation. And you can only enter through that door by repenting of your sin and calling on Jesus Christ to save you. That's the first step to becoming a sheep, receiving salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. And then after you have entered through the door of Jesus Christ and have received his salvation, John 10 says that true sheep, they know Jesus. It says that they know Jesus, and the true sheep will follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a sheep of the great shepherd. Number one, again, to receive the salvation of Jesus Christ, to come to know him. Number two, to listen to Jesus Christ and then to follow Jesus Christ. You see, true sheep, they listen to the great shepherd and they follow the great shepherd. And when you are one of his sheep, again, by way of review, you can write these down. When you are one of his sheep, the shepherd provides. The shepherd provides. King David again says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He provides. He gives you what you need. Next, when you are one of his sheep, the shepherd gives rest. He'll give you the rest that you need. He says in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He provides, he gives the sheep rest that they need. And ultimately, this rest is found in salvation through Christ alone, by faith alone in him and his finished work on the cross. The shepherd provides, the shepherd gives rest. Next, we see the shepherd restores. Verse 3, at the beginning of it, he says, he restores my soul. Remember, King David understood what it meant to be restored. Remember, he is writing this psalm at the end of his life, and King David was a man after God's own heart, but yes, he had made mistakes. You remember, at the end of his life, he has an affair. He goes and he has that woman's husband murdered. He goes on to repent of that great sin, and he says to God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And God ultimately restored King David. He understood what it meant to be restored, and that's what he does for his sheep. Whenever they stray, he will restore his sheep back to himself. He restores. And you are one of his sheep. The shepherd leads in paths of righteousness. The end of verse 3, he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness, meaning he will lead you to do what is right. May not always be easy. What he says to do may not always make sense, but we can trust that he will lead us to do what is right and what is correct as he leads us in paths of righteousness. The shepherd will preserve his perfect reputation. At the end of verse 3, he says, he does all of this for his name's sake. God does all of this as a good shepherd for his own glory. You see, God will not let his sheep down. And this leads us to today's text. You can write this down. The shepherd will walk with his sheep through difficult times. The shepherd will walk with his sheep through difficult times. Again, verse 4, King David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that great line that we've read and heard so many times, it says, through the valley of the shadow of death, this more than likely refers to the nearness of death. That death is close. But it could also mean walking in the valley of difficult situations. So whether the shadow of death is near or one is walking in a difficult situation, the fact of the matter is this: the Lord is with his sheep. David is saying that even in the shadow of death or the shadow of a difficult situation, he is saying he has nothing to fear. God is with him. The staff and rod that the shepherd uses for many things, correction being one of them, is there to comfort and to protect King David, he writes. And the valley of the shadow of death, or the valley of a difficult situation, is something that every one of us will one day deal with. Many of you in this room have walked the valley of the shadow of death. And you've walked through difficult situations. You've walked through death with loved ones. You've walked through difficult situations with loved ones personally. Some of you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death or the valley of a difficult situation today. And if you have never dealt with death or difficult situation, I can guarantee you this, based on what the Word of God clearly teaches, you will in the future. And as I can stand here today and guarantee you that you will one day face death for yourself or death of a loved one, and that you will one day face the valley of difficult times, I can also guarantee you this. If you are a sheep of the great shepherd, you have nothing to fear. The shepherd will be with you. The shepherd will be there to comfort you. The shepherd will be there to protect you and to guide you safely into his arms. This past week, I read this story about an incident in church history, which reads, John Rogers was an English preacher in the 16th century and the first martyr under the reign of Queen Mary. In January 1554, Bonner, the new bishop of London, sent him to Newgate Prison, where he was remained for a year. On January 29, 1555, he was sentenced to death. Up to that day, no one could tell how the English reformers would act in the face of death and could hardly believe that they would actually give their bodies to be burned for the faith. But on February the 4th, as a crowd gathered and saw John Rogers walking steadily and unflinchingly to his fiery grave, they erupted in enthusiastic applause. I count no eye, the French ambassador wrote home a description of the scene, saying that Rogers went to death as if he was walking to his wedding. And that is how a sheep of the great shepherd can face death and difficult situations. As if walking to their wedding. And this is how we see the people of God face death in difficult situations all throughout the Word of God. If you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they faced the fiery furnace with courage when they refused to bow down before King Nebuchadnezzar. If you remember Daniel, he faced the lion's den with valor when he would not pray to King Darius. You remember the Apostle Paul. He faced difficulty and the shadow of death constantly in his ministry, and yet he faced them all with bravery because he knew that the great shepherd was with him. If you go back and you read in the New Testament in Hebrews 11, this great chapter tells us how the many saints in the Bible faced the shadow of death and difficult situations, saying this, some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. Who else? Jesus himself went to the cross with absolute boldness, because he knew that his Father, the great shepherd, would walk with him through it, and that his Father, the great shepherd, would be there waiting for him on the other side in heaven. You see, the great shepherd will walk with his sheep through the surety of death that is coming. And the great shepherd will walk with his sheep through of being a sheep as well. And church family, this is the benefit of being a sheep of the great shepherd. He walks with his sheep through difficult times. Even when you do not feel it, even when you might not even sense that he is there, he walks with his sheep through difficult times. He walks with his sheep even through the valley of the shadow of death. Next, you can write this down. The shepherd provides bountifully when faced with adversity. The shepherd provides bountifully when faced with adversity. Look at verse 5 again with me. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." You see, King David, he faced many enemies in his day. And David is saying that even when he faced enemies, that God provided for him. God prepared a table for him. It says that in the presence of his enemies, that God anointed his head with oil. What's that mean? That's a reference to blessing. That's a reference to the blessing of God, to receiving the blessing of God. And David is saying in this passage that even in the midst of facing his enemies, that God provides, that God blesses, and God blesses bountifully, he says, as his cup was overflowing. And this is what the great shepherd does for his sheep. Whenever they face adversity, he prepares them a table, saying, "Come eat. I'll provide for you. Come sit down. I'll prepare for you a table." He provides what they need. He blesses them bountifully. The same terminology used in Psalm 23 also is used in Psalm 78. The psalm gives us a mini history of the children of Israel in the desert, saying, "He divided the sea and let them pass through it. He and made the water stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke out against God, saying, 'Can God spread a table in the wilderness?' And the answer is yes, God can and will spread a table in the wilderness as he did for the children of Israel in the desert. And guess what? He will do the same for you and I. The shepherd provides bountifully when his sheep are faced with adversity. And this morning, you may not be facing a literal enemy. And I understand that, but guess what? Enemies come in all shapes and all sizes. Enemies come in financial struggles, in relational or marriage issues, emotional health issues or physical health issues, sickness. It can come and disguise itself in loneliness, issues with your family, issues stemming from your past or upbringing, addiction, the loss of a loved one. The Bible even says that Satan is our great enemy. And this psalm reminds us that for every enemy we face on this earth, that God is greater than those enemies. God will provide for and prepare a table for his sheep in the presence of their enemies. It says that he will anoint their head with oil. He will bless them when they follow the great shepherd through times of adversity, providing abundantly, making their cup to overflow. And lastly, the shepherd will provide goodness and mercy forever. The shepherd will provide goodness and mercy forever. Verse 6, again, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And this last line that King David says in this great psalm, it really sums up this entire psalm. It sums up this entire psalm as we have seen in this psalm that the good shepherd provides. He provides for his sheep whenever they follow. As we have seen, that the good shepherd gives rest and that the good shepherd restores and leads in paths of righteousness. And he does all of this for his name's sake. He will preserve his perfect reputation for his glory. The good shepherd will walk with his sheep through difficult times. The good shepherd will provide bountifully when his sheep are faced with adversity. And David is saying at the end of this psalm, surely this goodness and mercy that the good shepherd offers is going to follow him the rest of his life and on into heaven. Why would he remove it from him? That's the same truth for you and I. Why would he remove it from you? Why would he remove it from you, senior adult? Why would he remove it from you when you're facing something where you cannot see the end result? Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. It's going to follow you. And David is saying it's going to follow him all the rest of his life and on into heaven. Again, as Charles Spurgeon says, these are celestial notes more fitted for the eternal mansions than for these dwelling places below the clouds. And that is the promise that you get as you follow the good shepherd. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Whenever you follow the good shepherd, and goodness and mercy will follow you all the way into heaven. In closing, here are some questions that you and I must answer this morning in regards to this text, and as we scan out from the Word of God and see this idea in the Word of God, the question is this, and we asked it before, is the Lord my shepherd? Is the Lord my shepherd? What does that mean? It means that you have entered through the door of Jesus Christ and have received the salvation of Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ himself says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is the Lord your shepherd? Have you bowed your heart to him? Have you bowed your knee in your life to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ? Have you confessed him as Lord and Savior, as the Bible tells us to do so? Is the Lord your shepherd? And if the Lord is your shepherd, the next question that we must answer this morning is this. Am I listening to the good shepherd? In other words, am I reading what the good shepherd says about who he is and about what he calls me to do with my life? Am I listening to the good shepherd through his beautiful word? And am I following him based on what his beautiful word says, even when it's difficult, even when it doesn't make sense? Am I listening to what the good shepherd says? Am I following the good shepherd? Am I following him? As Jesus Christ himself says, take up your cross, and he says, follow after me. What that means is that we're called to die to ourselves, that life is no longer about us, that life is about him, and that life is about his glory. It's about his fame. It's not about my personal wants and my personal preferences. No, he calls us to a life that follows him, that takes up our cross and dies to ourselves. It's a life of obedience, and it's a life of sacrifice. Is the Lord my shepherd? Am I listening to what the shepherd says? Am I following the good shepherd? And ultimately, all of this boils down to this. Do I trust the good shepherd? Do I trust the good shepherd? You see, whenever we trust the good shepherd, we'll listen to him. And ultimately, we will follow him in obedience, no matter what he says, even if it goes against culture, even if it goes against what the world is saying, even if it goes against what my flesh feels, we will follow the good shepherd because we trust the good shepherd. I want to remind you this morning, as I close out this message, that the good shepherd loves you more than you could ever know. And this text reminds us of that. And as the good shepherd does all of this for his sheep that we just spoke about, he will also do something else for you that you could never do on your own. This good shepherd will take away the penalty of your sin if you would confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. He does this by his sacrificial death on the cross. Again, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Why does the good shepherd lay down his life for the sheep, for you and I? Again, ultimately, it's because of sin. This is why Jesus Christ allowed himself to be sacrificed on a cross, because of your sin and because of my sin. And the Bible says this, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is why the Good Shepherd ultimately became a lamb and died on a cross, because of sin. I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all messed up. And the Bible says this, that the wages of this sin is death. And that's not just talking about a physical death. That's talking about a spiritual death forever and ever and ever, for all of eternity, in a very real place called hell. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5, but God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How do you become a sheep of the great shepherd? Romans 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going to stop right there. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, what that means is this, is that whenever you say that Jesus, you are Lord, what you are simply saying is this, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. I am not God of my life. The culture is not God of my life. The world is not God of my life. Jesus, you are the God of my life. That's what it means to confess Jesus as Lord. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, meaning he is the boss of your life, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's the gospel, you will be saved. He says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is the Lord your shepherd? Would you bow your heads with me? Before we close today, I plead with you. I beg of you to truly answer that question that we've been asking. We asked it last week and we ask it today. Is the Lord your shepherd? Meaning, have you bowed your knee to his lordship over your life? Have you received him as Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sin? And in this, are you proving that by the way that you're following him, listening to him, and living your life for him? Because the Bible makes it very clear. Faith without works is dead. Are you following him? Maybe you're in this place today and you say, Caleb, man, the Lord is not my shepherd. I plead with you today, in this very moment, as the Spirit of God is leading you and drawing you, that you would submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That you would ask him to be your Lord, and that you would ask him to be your shepherd. That you would repent of your sin, turn your back on your sin, and from this day forward, commit your life to follow Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. How do you do that? You can do that right from your seat. First of all, you have to recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And then you cry out from your heart and you ask Jesus Christ to save you. You repent of your sin and ask him to save you from your sin. There's no magical prayer you pray. It's by faith that you come to him. It's a change of your heart. It's a shift of your heart. You can do that right now in this moment. You call on him. If you're in this place today and you just called on Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior and you've committed your life to him, I just want to remind you that whenever you do that, the world may tell you that you lose something. You lose nothing. You gain everything. Look at what you gain. You gain a good shepherd that provides. You gain a good shepherd that gives you rest and peace, that leads you for his glory, for his name's sake, into paths of righteousness. You gain a good shepherd who will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death and through difficult seasons of life. He will give you comfort, who will never leave you nor forsake you, who will prepare a table for you, who will bless you in the midst of adversity. He will bless you with goodness and mercy all the days of your life on into heaven. You lose nothing, you gain everything when you submit to the Lordship of Christ. Maybe you're in this place today and you say, Caleb, man, I have done that. I have submitted my life to the Lordship of Christ. My question to you is this: are you listening to the Good Shepherd? Are you following the Good Shepherd? Again, I say the same thing to you. Whenever you follow him and listen to him, you lose nothing, you gain everything. What he can give you is so much greater than what the world could possibly give you. God, we love you. Again, we say thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful text that reminds us of who you are. You are good. You are good even in difficult times, even in the shadow of death, you are good. Thank you for being a good shepherd that is always there for his sheep. So God, right now, we just come before your throne and we worship you. We say that we surrender our lives to you. We say that we follow you, the good shepherd. And we ask and pray, good shepherd, that you would lead us and that you would lead us to where you want us to go and that you would lead us to do what you want us to do. And good shepherd, that you would use us as sheep for the glory of your name, for the glory of the great shepherd, that our lives would not be for ourselves, but our lives would ultimately reflect back to you and to your glory. We love you, Father, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.